Good afternoon. I welcome you to this gathering of worship in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and remember a dear friend and sister, Mary, or May, is known to you. I'm Harry Heinz. I'm a retired pastor, and I'm serving in the absence of a pastor at this congregation. So I'll tell you at the beginning, I did not know May, but through her family here and friends, I already have a feeling for her. I'll also confess to you that I'm not from Scotland. And if you find me trying to sound like I am, stop me, because it won't work. As a young man, I listened to the sermons of Peter Marshall, a man called Peter, and tried my best to sound like him, and it never worked. So I'll just be myself. We've gathered here for a holy purpose. Immediately following the service, there is a reception through that door and to your left down the hallway. The congregation has prepared an opportunity for us to gather down there, so please stop by then. Please stand as we gather to worship God. Our call to worship is responsive. For each one of us, Jesus Christ came into the world. For us, he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, "It is accomplished." For each one of us, he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. In our baptism, we're reminded that in life and in death, we belong to God. And the words of Scripture are fulfilled. We love because God loves us first. In the hymnals in front of you, please turn to number 625, "How Great Thou Art."
Thank you.
Grant, O Lord, that by your Spirit we may experience the comfort of your grace, the hope of our faith, even the joy that is set before us. We gather in sadness and in thanksgiving. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading is the 23rd Psalm. The text is printed before us for us to say in unison. Many of us have perhaps memorized it from youth in the King James Version or in other versions, so feel free to say it in whatever version is comfortable for you. Let us say together, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Second reading from the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, which Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from a stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech. The Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The word of the Lord. We'll proceed now to a poem and a remembrance.
"To those I love and those who love me, when I am gone, release me, let me go. I have so many things to see and do. You must tie yourself to me with tears. Be happy that we had so many years. I have you, my love. You can only guess how much you gave to me in happiness. I thank you for the love you each have shown. But now it's time. I traveled alone. So grieve a while for me, if grieve you must. Then let your grief be comforted by trust. It's only for a while that we must part. So bless the memories within your heart. I won't be far away, for life goes on. So if you need, call and I will come. Though you can't see or touch me, I'll be near. And if you listen with your heart, you'll hear all of my love around you soft and clear. And then, when you must come this way alone, I'll greet you with a smile and say, welcome home. It's for you, Aunt May."
people here know me, so I'm not going to talk too much about me, okay? I was born in a tar paper shack in the Highlands of Scotland, and my mother didn't like me, and she said, "Get out of here." Scottish word, get out, yes. I'm very pleased to be here. I love this woman. She was a piece of work. She was wonderful. She was hard to understand at times. I'm telling you, and you didn't tell me that when you come back in. Now, if you're Scottish, you could maybe catch a word or two there. If you're Lithuanian, you're in trouble. I mean, this woman was a talker. I loved her dearly. I'd like to do something. I'd like to congratulate the Tartan Square Club for their inputs, for their help, and for understanding. Sydney would approve. Sydney was one of their members. So I say that, and I'm honored to be in your company. Yeah. This is a tough one. May was loved by anybody that ever knew her. She was a great woman. She loved children, although she had none. But, and I've got a little thing I wrote about that, she loved, well, Margaret and Gordon Troop have got children. I mean, they came here, and the Lord said, "Go forth and multiply." They overdid it. There's a lot of them here. Wee ones, big ones, and everything else. But May enjoyed every one of them. The wee ones. Her refrigerator is a piece of work surrounded by the faces of wee lassies smiling. Wonderful. And laddies. The laddies, they feed the boys too in that particular group of people. But May loved to go there, and they loved to see her because she came carrying stuff. Stuff you shouldn't be eating. Stuff that she shouldn't be eating. A lot of stuff. But that was Mary. I traveled with her quite a bit, and I suggested to anybody that I respected, don't get in a car with her. She never drove a car. But she liked to think she was of some importance in the car. There's a big lorry, and it's coming up there. No, it's going the other way, but I'm just telling you. And I'd say, no more. Next stop, you're out. I don't have to tolerate this. I could be driving by myself. Or just shut up anyway. It was like Margaret Mackay, you know, the two of them. Maggie Mackay was the same cut, same cloth. I'd go into Aldi's with them, and people are wondering where they came from. It was the one with the red thing on it, and the chocolate was the... No, it wasn't that one. No, it was the other one with the chocolate. It would draw a crowd. So I would just stand by and get something to eat, you know. But being with them was great. Being with May was great. She was kind, thoughtful, and really was a wonderful woman and a great friend to me. I did love her, you know. I'm looking at wee bits of paper because, you know, I'm quiet. I normally don't speak too much, you know. And if you believe that, I've got a dream for you. Some of the stuff, you know, that I think I'd like to do. I'd like to do a poem of Robert Burns. But it's a poem that Burns wrote as if a woman was writing the poem. And the rarity of that was Burns had people who didn't respect him too well. And he took a poem that had been one of those raunchy poems that you shouldn't write, and he changed it. And I love it. And I'll tell you what it is. John Anderson, my Joe John, when we were first acquaint, your locks were like the raven and your bonny brow was brent. But now your brow is bell, John, and your locks are like the snow. Oh, blessings on your frosty pow, John Anderson, my Joe. John Anderson, my Joe, John, we climbed the hill together. And many's a canty day, John, we had with one another. Now we mun totter down, John, and hand in hand we'll go. And we'll sleep together at the fit, John Anderson, my Joe. May talked every single day that I knew her of being with Sydney at the end. So I think she could maybe be there. I'm sure she'll be there. I'm sure she'll be with Sydney at the bottom of the highlands. I'm sure she'll be there in the form she's in. And I'm sure she'll be happy. And if there's a better world, she lives in bliss. But if there's not, she made the best of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, and thank you, John. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't think many Americans have much understanding of what shepherding is. I expect that Scots people have much more understanding of shepherding. I know that in the ancient Palestinian world, everyone understood shepherding. It was just common life. When the Bible wants to describe leadership, it generally turns to shepherding. The roll call of shepherds in the scriptures is amazing. Moses, Abraham, the prophet Amos, David. Young David, who would become Israel's greatest king, was first a shepherd boy. And when he begins describing his relationship with God, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. That was filled with meaning for David because he knew what it was to be a shepherd. Today there are many jobs and professions, and some of them have a touch of shepherding in them, but not all. My wife was an elementary school teacher for many years. She understood shepherding. She understood what it was to give herself to a classroom of young children, to care for them way beyond what the contract called for, to come home at the end of her teaching day and tell me about those children, to let me read her report cards, to catch grammatical mistakes, but even more, to help me understand her world. She understood something about shepherding. Your work may have a touch of shepherding in it. And if it doesn't, maybe you can look at it in a new way and bring some shepherding to it. Pastors understand that word because the English word pastor is precisely the Greek word for shepherd. There is no word for pastor in the Bible except the word shepherding. The Lord is my shepherd. That's how David begins the most beloved of all the Psalms. Or I think the Scots would say the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I need nothing. Because the essence of the shepherd is to provide for the sheep, to care for the sheep. It was not glamorous work. It didn't pay well. It wasn't even terribly respectable, because in Judaism, shepherds were unclean most of the time. They just didn't have time at the end of the day to go through all the rituals to be clean. Isn't it interesting that the first visitors at the birth of Jesus were shepherds? David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. He provides for all my needs. Green pastures, still waters, safe paths. The Lord is my shepherd." Now, a word about sheep, because there's been a lot of misuse of sheep, particularly in church life. I think I grew up hearing too many sermons about how dumb the sheep were. Stupid animals. I did some research, and that's not the case at all. The problem for the sheep is they're defenseless. They need a shepherd precisely because they're vulnerable. And a shepherd watches for the flock, not because they're stupid, but because they're defenseless and they need someone to care for them. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I take care of the gate. I make sure it's closed at the right time and open at the right time. I make sure that my flock has all it needs. Green pastures, still waters, safe paths. I am the good shepherd." The gatekeeper opens the gate. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them, and they recognize his voice. Never had sheep, but I've had dogs. They recognize my voice. And I'm learning, they pretty much recognize their names when their master speaks them. My sheep know my voice. They know when to follow. They trust me. Then there is another leg of the journey from green pastures and still waters and safe paths. There is that leg that we are not so quick to talk about. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I'm so glad the translators didn't try and euphemize this. Death. The valley of the shadow of death, because we all know that valley is there. We've had loved ones pass through it. Some of us have already walked through it and come out alive for a while. There is a valley of the shadow that's part of this journey. There is no denying it. Some of May's relatives saw her as recently as 3 weeks ago without any clue that we'd be gathering here today in this way. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I don't do it alone. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They remind me I'm loved. They keep me on the path, even in the valley. They keep me from making a misstep, because a good shepherd uses the rod and the staff not to punish, but to guide, even through the valley of the shadow of death." And then the psalm moves to that final scene. A banqueting table, head being anointed with oil, blessing abounding. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There is a scene in the great American play, Our Town, that I think is my favorite. A play that deals with life and death, when the stage manager, commenting on the reality of death, says this: "We all know that something is eternal. And it ain't houses, and it ain't names, and it ain't the earth, and it ain't even the stars. Everybody knows in their bones that something is eternal, and that something has to do with human beings. All the greatest people who ever lived have been telling us that for thousands of years, yet you'd be surprised how people are always losing hold of it. There's something way down deep that's eternal about every human being." So, John, we picture May in a better place. We picture our relatives that have gone before us in a better place. We have this something in us that points us to a reality beyond this life. And if we forget about that at times, moments like this remind us. Remind us that we too will walk the valley of the shadow. That we too will die. And that Jesus promises that death is but an entrance to something more and eternal and glorious. Something that no preacher dare try to describe in any detail. It's simply to paint a picture and say, there's more. There's something eternal about us because God has put it in us. There's more. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We're here to remember May, appropriately to honor her long and wonderful life. But I would be remiss in my shepherding if I didn't remind us that we're here for something even more than that. And that is to recognize the good shepherd who knows his sheep by name and cares for them every day in green pastures and by still waters and on beautiful paths. And even through the valley of the shadow of death, and on the other end of that valley, has a table prepared for us. To the Good Shepherd, be all praise and honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you for the life of your daughter, May. We rejoice in all the glimpses of your love and mercy that we saw in her. And we pray that all of her family, both by bloodlines and faith lines, will know your comfort, your abounding grace, the tender ministry of the Good Shepherd. And we pray now, in the way our good shepherd taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In our hymnals, number 48, that is in the green hymnal, number 48, in the green hymnal, let us stand and sing. Thank you. sure and certain hope of the resurrection to life eternal through our Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to Almighty God the mortal remains of our sister departed. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Lord, be merciful to her and look upon her with kindness. The Lord lift up his face upon her and give her peace. The blessing of the Lord be and abide with all of us here now and ever. Amen.